Your word is a wonderful, wonderful gift to us. Lord, help us now as if you have them. And we're carrying on in our sermon series called No Matter What, and we're going to be going to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we're starting at verse 3. We're going to camp out there for a little bit. Philippians chapter 2, and beginning at verse 3. And so we're continuing on in this journey through the book of Philippians, and we're always looking at this theme of no matter what. And last week we took a look at holding firm to our faith no matter what. And we took a look at the two main causes that cause disunity within the church. The first one being persecution from outside of the church. And the fact that we need to stand firm with those that face persecution. And then the second thing is selfish ambition from inside the church. So there's essentially two aspects of this. This week we're going to be carrying on in this idea of humility through what's written in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through to 11. So the first thing that I want to do this morning is to remind you of the character of God. And then from this I want to encourage you to imitate the character of God. Now, the character of God is something that we always come back to time and time again. And I might sound like a very broken record going over this time and time again. But in order to do this, we need to understand the character of God more fully. So the character of God is infinite. And in our finite minds, we can't understand even the simplest parts of God completely. And so we need to take a look into the realm of the character of God and understand completely one part of his nature. And this nature today we're going to be talking about is humility. And through this is going to lead into imitation. However, we cannot fully understand the character of God. That's why we have to continually go back to it. Jesus, who in every sense is God, is equal with God, shares with him all of his divine attributes. So his divine things like eternality, the fact that he is never created, he always was, always is, and always will be. That is Jesus. The fact that he is all-knowing, sees all things, and has control of all things, and is in charge of all things. That's part of who Jesus is as well. All of these things are held within the person of Jesus Christ. But on top of this, there are more what I call the human attributes that he also takes part of. Perfect love, perfect humility, perfect love and forgiveness, mercy. All of these things are kind of put together into the person of Jesus Christ. And we cannot understand the fullness of any of these. Because we cannot even in our finite minds understand the simplest of concepts and describe them in words. So here's a question for everybody. So everybody up here. So, I want you to describe something that's very simple. I want you to describe to me what salt tastes like. Salt. Salty, right? But what if I didn't have the taste, the sense of taste? How would you describe salt to me?
White grains.
What's that?
White grains.
White grains. But it doesn't actually give you, like I could say, okay, it's sodium chloride. But that doesn't actually give you a sense of the idea of the taste of salt. Someone described to me the color purple. Purple. Pretty. Okay. You might even say like, oh, it's a combination of red and blue in certain shades. But what if I'm blind? How would you actually describe the fullness of the color purple? I actually see a lot of people wearing purple today, which is great. So how would you describe that to me? And adequately describe and give me a picture in my mind, the idea of purple, if I've never seen purple before. What about something as simple as the smell of coffee? How would you describe the smell of coffee? You might say like roasted coffee beans. But if you've never actually smelled coffee before, how would you actually know how to describe it and give that image in your mind? Now, kind of getting back from this idea, is that when we take a look at the character of God, we're looking at the infinite. We're looking at infinite love, infinite mercy, infinite humility, infinite eternality. Every part of Christ is infinite. So if we can't even begin to describe these very simple concepts, This is the reason we have to go back again and again and again to the character of God, because we cannot fully understand it. And what happens is that the Holy Spirit acts as though he's lifting up a foggy lens, that we're kind of seeing God, but then he lifts off a lens and we see a new, clearer image of the character of God. It's almost like he's turning a kaleidoscope wheel, and he turns it just a certain way, and we see a new perspective, a new way of seeing God in a fresh way, in an exciting way. And in the same sense, that when we see that new way of Jesus, then when we see that part, we see that clear image of the character of God, it's like seeing something new for the very first time. It's like someone who is blind being obsessed with the color of grass. It's like someone that is deaf hearing their child's voice for the first time. It gives and carries that kind of emotion when we're looking at the character of God. That's why we need to come back to this again and again and again. So let's take a look at our passage of Scripture where Paul kind of gives this panorama image of the character and nature of Jesus Christ. So Philippians chapter 3 and moving on into verse 11 is where we're going to be. Yes, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through to 11. And the Scripture reads, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So this is the panorama image of who Christ is. And this is what Paul wants us to know. And this ought to lead into imitation. So when we experience God, we ought to be in turn inspired to be like him. That image that we've been made in, we've all been made in the image of God, but that image is distorted. It's broken in various forms or another. We don't possess perfect attributes. But what Paul is showing is this panorama image of Jesus Christ in all of his humility, in order that we may imitate him in his likeness. Now, he makes it quite clear. Selfish ambition, do nothing. How much is nothing? Zero, right? Somebody? Yeah, it's nothing, right? Okay, cool. So, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In light of this, look at Jesus, is basically what Paul is saying. Look at him, look him squarely in the face and see what he is like. And take a look at that. Now, what he reveals is this. Take a look at Jesus and see that he is God, not like God, that he is being in very nature God. Just God. So you have God the Father, you have God the Son, you have God the Holy Spirit, all equal. None of them are above one another. None of them are below one another. They are all equal in power, in strength, in attributes, all of them perfect, but all of them equal. But he reveals that he did not take any of that equality to his own advantage. So God, being completely powerful over every circumstance in this entire world, Jesus could have used that to his own advantage. He could have said, you know what? I'm going to own the Fortune 500 of companies. I'm going to own everything in this world. I could take nations and have them have their armies turn against each other and conquer everybody and rule and reign as an earthly king. And he'd have every right to do so, but he doesn't. He absolutely does not. What do we see in the life of Jesus? He humbles himself by taking on human flesh, and he becomes a homeless rebel rabbi. in the backwaters of the Middle East. That's amazing. That the all-powerful Lord of the universe takes on human flesh and comes in the most humble of ways. Even though he still held all of his glory, all of his honor and majesty were all still held within inside of himself. He did not use that to his own advantage. And John writes in his gospel in chapter 1, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So despite the fact that no one realized the importance of Jesus Christ, not just to humanity, but to the universe as a whole. He's the sustainer of life. He emptied himself of all honor, all outward signs of majesty, all outward signs of glory, to the point in which that nobody even recognized who he was. And he was obedient to a point of death. And death, not just by normal means, by the most cruel, unimaginable, barbaric means possible. Death on a cross. The lowest of citizens were executed in this means. And that's how Jesus was going to die. So knowing this, knowing that God is completely equal with Jesus, that they are on par with one another, knowing that they are equal, and he emptied himself of all glory, of all honor, of all majesty, and died a death on the cross. Nobody even recognized who he was and didn't demand anybody to recognize him. He lived a life of complete humility. In light of this panorama image, how on earth did we come up with this idea that our interests are very important? How have we even come up with this? It's insanity when we take a look at the full view of Jesus Christ. How on earth did we come up with this? It doesn't make sense. So in light of this, in light of the fact that we see Jesus for who he really is, that the Holy Spirit has turned the kaleidoscope wheel, and we see this fresh perspective of Jesus Christ and his all-powerful and complete humility, God wants us to do likewise. That we ought to imitate Jesus in this way. And so, what Paul says is, do nothing out of selfish ambition. There ought to be no quarrels. That you should put your own interests down at the bottom, everybody else's interests above yours. And it's super easy to remember, God is always at the top. God is completely and always at that position at the top. You are always at the bottom. Everything else kind of falls in between and moves into different places based on circumstances. But those things always remain. God at the top, always ruling and reigning over your life. Your interests, preferences, ambitions, absolutely at the bottom. Everything else just falls on top of that. But that's so backwards to the way in which that our culture tells us how to live. That we have to look out for our own interests because nobody else is going to look after us. That we need to look out for our own interests. But God is saying, no, that's not the way of my son. That shouldn't be your way either. And in all honesty, I don't think that God rolls dice as far as things go. So I want to read you some things that God says in his word. These aren't my words. This is God's words. So let's all take this in, okay? Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Those are all God's words. They're not mine. Those are all in the Bible. That's God's holy word. So we must imitate Christ's humility no matter what. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition, so therefore we ought to do nothing and look to God's way and the way in which we ought to live our lives. This is not the way of our Lord to have selfish ambition, nor can it be our way. So, like I said, super easy to remember. God ruling, reigning, you very, very bottom. Everything else kind of falls into a proper alignment from there. That your spouse's interests are way above yours. That your kids' interests are way above your interests. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, that stranger on the street, all above your own interests. And so we need to imitate Christ's image that he has presented to us. Emptying ourselves of all honor and glory that we would want for ourselves. And imitate the way in which that he lived his own life. C.S. Lewis has a great illustration to this in Mere Christianity. And he likens this idea of imitation to children's games. So when you were a kid, you probably played some sort of game that where you played pretend and you imitated something. Like for me, like when I was growing up, I wanted to be a fire truck, not man, truck. I wanted to be the truck, not the man. But that's just my own craziness. But anyways, so don't take my example in this illustration. So when you were kids, you would play these different games where you would imitate different jobs. So you might imitate that you're a doctor and try and diagnose what was going on with your teddy bear. Or you might pretend that you're a shopkeeper, have a little cardboard box with some lemonade on it, 5 cents a piece. Or you might have something like you play house and you play mom and dad. Or you might play soldier where you hide under little rocks and you take little Nerf guns and shoot at each other. Now, when you were imitating those things, it was all play back then, but those forms of play were actually formative in those very basic skills. So when you had your little lemonade stand, it helped you to learn how to count. You weren't quite ready to open up your own business yet, but it formed those skills that you needed. When you were a mom or a dad, it helped you to get into that role that you would perhaps have later on down the life of being a father or a mother and rearing children and raising up the next generation. The idea of trying to find out what's wrong, it's very crucial in the life of a doctor. And we would continue on in this realm well into our teens and well into college that we would always be playing this imitation, growing more and more mature, and then eventually fulfilling those roles, fulfilling that image that we had in our minds. And it's very similar in the way in which that we live out our Christian lives. That we are but children looking to the person of Jesus Christ and imitating him in all the different aspects of his character. And sometimes we are just simply barely making just the formative steps of going into his likeness. But we cannot simply just stay in the place where we're having little lemonade stands and playing soldier. That eventually we did need to grow into those roles. And in the same way, we need to grow into those roles in our Christian faith. That we need to go beyond just simply being children of faith and move on into adulthood where we're fully mature, able to stand up on our own and be of the same mind as Christ. So, in the idea of humility, what does this look like? Just to sum everything up, just to give you some practical application. I just want to give you some words that kind of were put together by John Piper and as well some of the things that I have just to conclude our time together. So here's a couple of thoughts on humility. Humility is glad that God gets all the credit so that we can boast only in him and not in man. It is by grace that you have been saved, not through works, lest any man should boast. We read that in God's word. Humility happily admits that everything we have is a free gift from God so that we can't boast in it. That car that you drove in this morning with, your house, your kids, your spouse, all of the money and the job that you have and that breath that you just took is all God's. given graciously to you. Humility is glad to affirm that God sovereignly governs our heartbeats, safe arrivals or non-arrivals. That He rules and reigns over all circumstances in our life. He's the driver. The root of Christian humility is the gospel that Christ died for our sins. Here's something to remember. That's how sinful we were. That's how dependent we are. That our sinfulness was so bad that Christ had to go to the cross for them. And that is how dependent that we are on that death. Humility frees you from the posture of calculating what others think about you. This I love, love, love. Because humility, we have this idea of humility where like somebody's just sitting there and is like, ooh, poor me, I'm so low. I have a friend like that. I hate it. That's not humility. That's just something completely different that I'm not sure what it is. It's kind of the Eeyore complex. But that's not what humility is. Humility frees you from the posture of caring what other people think about you. Because here's the thing. Proud people care a lot about their reputation and don't get to have a lot of fun because they're worried so much about their reputation being damaged in some way. If you don't think yourself as very important, you don't care. You don't care. You can go down the grocery aisle and sing and dance all you want, which I am so thankful for. My wife isn't, but I am. If you don't think of yourself as important, you are free. You don't worry about what other people think about you. Humility gives you courage. When we have no confidence in ourselves, every confidence in God, we will continually lean upon God, who is a solid rock in a swirling world. The humble will proudly proclaim, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." And when you say all, means all, everything else. Humility gives you incredible energy and ability that can only be attributed to God. Paul realized this in his own life. He records this in the book of Corinthians. "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." The grace of God allows you to do incredible things when we have confidence in the strength of the Lord. Humility, and this is the most important, humility gives itself away in serving everyone rather than seeking to be served. And humility is glad to affirm that this service is true greatness. Humility is seen when a person serves, not because of interest. And this is super important. I want you to really take this in. Humility is when someone serves not because of interest, not because of passion, not because they want to get an experience or have an experience in order to lead into one of their goals in life. Humility is not that. Serving is not that. But because a person serves because they see that God has something that needs done, and they go and they do it. That's humility. That's what humble service looks like. Not because we will gain honor, but because we will lift up the name of Christ. Perfect example of this is Jesus. His disciples gathered around for a meal, and they forgot to hire somebody to wash the feet. So what do the disciples do? They sit down with dirty feet. Not one of them said, "Oh, I'll get that for you. Don't worry about that. I'll get the water in the basin and start washing feet." None of them do that. Jesus comes in, sees the disciples hanging around with dirty feet. So what does he do? He doesn't say, "You, disciple, go get some water. Go wash some feet." He goes over, grabs a basin, gets some water, takes off his outer garment, puts a towel around his waist, gets down on his hands and knees, and starts washing feet. That's humility. Now, if I put a clipboard out that we need some feet washers, don't think that the list is going to be filled very quickly. Feet washing is not exactly what people are like passionate about. It's like, "Oh, I'm going to wash some feet today. Yeah." That's not what it is. But that's the example that Jesus Christ gave to us. He saw a need. And he went and did it. No interest in himself. No interest in his honor or his reputation. He's taken off his outer garment. This is a job of a slave. You hire somebody to do this. And the Lord of the universe is getting down on his hands and knees with a bucket of water and washing some dirty Middle Eastern feet. Like that, that's not a really great job. So this is the way that God is urging us to go for. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in all of your relationships, all of your relationship, put the interest of others before your own. So the biggest question to chew on this week, how will you respond to this message today? How will you imitate Christ's humility? I pray that you will consider that this week. In light of the panoramic view of who Christ is, that this would change you. So may each of us look